word with faith and joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, we are in the month of November, and November is a month of falling leaves. They're quite beautiful. And falling temperatures, a little colder this morning. It'll get even colder, I think. It's a month of football, pretty good football if you like Tennessee, although you play a lot of lousy opponents this month, don't we? And I pray in the church, well, it's a month also of great food. Food today, but food Thanksgiving coming up. And I pray in the church, for we the baptized, it is a month of great, great, great faith. For that matter, may every month be a month of faith, and every week and every day a day of faith for the church. During this time of the year, we focus on the end of the world. The new church year begins the last Sunday in November, Advent, Christmas, the birth of Jesus. That's coming. So we're ending this church year, and we think of the end of the world, the second coming of Jesus. Life and death, heaven, hell, my own death. And as we focus on all that, may we have faith, not fear, but faith. May we have the faith of the two widows. The widow in the gospel lesson who's in the temple giving her all out of faith. And the faith of the widow of Zarephath ministering to Elijah the prophet. This is great faith. This is saving faith. This is faith that leads to eternal life with God. And may the Holy Spirit give us such faith. Let me say four things about the faith of the widow in the Old Testament reading. First of all, she has faith, even though generally she is hated by the people of God. She has faith, even though generally she is hated by the people of God, who should love her. Note one of the obvious things about her, she's a Gentile. Zarephath is not in Israel territory. It is way to the north, and she is a Gentile. And as a Gentile, she generally would have been hated by the people of God. She would be seen as fuel for the fire of hell. She's a nobody. She's ostracized. She's an outsider. You don't belong to the people of Israel. You don't belong to God. You're an outsider. You're hated. And no doubt she, over her years, felt that hatred, being an outsider. No one really talked to her. They wouldn't want to be around her. She is no doubt shocked. She is shocked that Elijah, a prophet from Israel, would come to her. What is this prophet from Israel doing here in my household? She's in shock. It's quite amazing she doesn't just send him away. Get out of here. You're from Israel. You're a prophet. You have your own God. Leave. Get out. Or maybe she thought Elijah was going to come to just condemn her and laugh at her. You're a Gentile. You're going to hell and so's your son. Goodbye. Something like that's probably in her mind when she sees him coming up to her steps. She's an outsider. She's hated by the people of God who should reach out to her, but they don't. And yet, she welcomes Elijah. This is faith. She welcomes the prophet she doesn't even know who stands for a people that hate her. Because the prophet has the word of God. And I want the word of God, no matter who it comes through or what the people of God do with it and how they treat me, I want the word of God because the word of God will give me life. This is faith. I want the word of God in spite of the people that sometimes are a stumbling block to hear the word of God. And there's a lesson for us here. Over my years of ministry, a lot of people won't go to church because of the people in the church. I'm mistreated. No one says hello. People are cold to me. People are mean. They ostracize me. They look down on me. I'm not liked, and so they don't come. And all that is bad for the church. May we be friendly, loving people. But if you're such a person, I've been mistreated by the church, I'm angry at the church, the pastor, the people have mistreated me, they don't like me, they look down on me, come hear the word of God anyway. Don't let the meanness of the people in the church keep you from the mercy that's in the church and the word of God. Let me repeat it. Don't let the meanness of the people in the church or the pastor in the church keep you from the word of God and the mercy of God that's in the church. Elijah brings the word of God, the word of life, so hear it, even though I represent a people that are very mean and very hateful. You know, I was in Pilot the other day, the Pilot right down here, getting a cup of coffee early in the morning, and the place was packed. It was a rainy morning, lots of people in there getting coffee, long lines, about five, six people. And I come up to the gal at the register, and I just simply say, boy, it's busy in here. You know what she said to me? Duh. Thank you for the nice greeting. I get that a lot, though, William. Kind of be looking at me and say, duh, Pastor, don't you get it? And then she said, I really need a new job. Now, did I storm out of Pilate and say, I don't want your coffee. I'm never going to come to Pilate again. I don't want the 3 cents off on the gallon of gasoline. I'm never coming to Pilate again because you were rude to me. No, I took my cup of coffee and I said, I hope you have a good day. She's having a bad day. If you're that person ostracized, realize the pastor has a bad day. The church people sometimes have a bad day. Sometimes we have a bad week. Sometimes we have a bad year. We're just not often that nice and that friendly and that welcoming. We're off in our own little world. Forgive. And come hear the word of God. We don't come for coffee. We come for Christ. Christ is here. Secondly, besides being hated an outsider, she believes even though she is hurting terribly in her life. She's not just hurting, she's literally starving to death. Something I don't think anybody here can really know what it's like. Again, she's a Gentile. She is a widow. She has no husband to provide for her. And back in that day, women didn't just go out and get work and provide for themselves, which we can do today. But she had no one to provide for her. And she has a son. And the son, quite frankly, is probably kind of a burden to her to have a son. And she has no income. And notice she has no friends either. No one's there to help her. The only person come to help her is a prophet from Israel. No family, no friends around. Where are they all out to help this woman? And she's gathering sticks to have a final meal. A little flour, a little oil to make some bread, and then I'm going to die and my son's going to die. She is a hurting person. The Holy Spirit here is emphasizing how pathetic the situation is. There's despair here. There is death here. There's hopelessness here. It's pathetic. Yet in the midst of that, she has faith in the Word of God. Faith in the words of the prophet Elijah that God will multiply the flour and the oil and we will eat. God will take care of you. She could have very easily said, leave Elijah. Your God doesn't care about me. Your God doesn't love me. If your God loved me and cared about me, why would I be suffering so much? Why would I have no food? Why would my husband die? Why would I be in such a pathetic situation if your God loves me so much and cares about me? So leave, prophet. She could be so mad at God. And yet she trusts the word of Elijah. And she lets Elijah stay there for many days. This is scandalous. A prophet from Israel staying with a Gentile widow. It's all quite scandalous. She believes the word of God. It's easy to believe, friend, when life is easy. When we have a nice job and we're making money and we're healthy, it's easy. Our football team wins. It's easy to believe. Oh, life is good. God loves me. Thank you, God, for all the blessings. And after all, I'm quite deserving of all of it. But when we suffer, and sometimes we don't know why, there the rubber hits the road. Am I really going to believe the promises of God when all my circumstances tell me He doesn't love me or care for me? If you love me and care for me, God, why do I have cancer? Why am I suffering? Why am I dying? Why did I lose my job? Why do I have no friends, no family? Why, God, if you really love me, where are you, God? There's the test. In my ministry, when someone suffers, either they fall away from God out of anger and doubt, or they get closer to God, what's going to happen with you? I have been visiting Jerry Stewart. She is a homebound member in our church that I've been visiting for years, and she's at Emory, the hospital up at Emory Road now, with a infection in her kidney, suffering, hurting, tired. Visited her a few times, and I know Jerry very, very well from visiting her. And I saw her the other day and said, you know, sympathizing with her, Jerry, I'm really sorry. And she started crying. I hurt, Pastor. I said, I'm really sorry, and held her hand. I'm sympathizing with you. I'm really sorry you're hurting. And then finally she just said to me, quit feeling sorry for me, Pastor, and give me communion. That's the Jerry Stewart that I know. I don't need your tears and your sympathy. Just give me communion, the body and blood of my Savior. That's faith. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need the strength of the Lord. I need the one who's conquered suffering and death and infection and disease. I need that one in my mouth and my heart. Give me communion. Give me Jesus. And may that be our attitude when we hurt. I don't need all your sympathy and your tears. That's nice to show you care, but I need Jesus. Thirdly, as she has faith, oh, how she helps the prophet Elijah. One evidence of faith is giving and helping others and sacrificing all for the sake of others. And oh, what sacrifice this widow makes in the widow in the gospel lesson. You're a Christian. You bear the name of Christ. You're baptized. You say you're a Christian. What's the evidence you're a Christian? You know the question, if you're convicted of being a Christian or arrested for being a Christian, will they find enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Something to consider sometime. Well, the evidence is that you're here in God's house, hearing the word of God, that you're baptized, that's evidence you're a Christian, God put his claim on you there, that you commune at God's table, that you sing and pray. All that is wonderful evidence of our Christian faith. But another great evidence of faith is how we live out there. And are we giving people? Are we sacrificial people? Are we generous in love? Or are we stingy? It's mine, 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 and you get none world. Or are we generous in giving? This is an evidence of our faith. And she gives everything to Elijah. Doesn't give 10% of the flour and oil. Here's your 20%, Elijah. Here's half of it, but I'm keeping the other half for myself and my kid. She gives everything into the hands of Elijah. Notice who eats first. Elijah eats first. Elijah says, go make me bread first, and then you and your son can eat later. Now that requires faith. What are you talking about here, buddy? I'll prepare the bread, but we're going to eat first, and you're going to eat later. After all, you're the guest here. That's not how it works. God's prophet comes first. God comes first. And she sacrifices all. If you're a stingy person, stingy, don't want to help, don't want to serve, don't want to give, that's a sign of a lack of faith. We are liberal people, we Christians. Yes, we are major liberals here in East Tennessee. We are liberals. Pastor, what are you saying? We're conservative East Tennesseans. No, we are liberal with love. Oh, how we pour out with love. We give our flour, our oil, our time, our talents, our treasures, our entire life for the Lord and his kingdom. Whatever he desires, he desires in my heart and all that I have for him. Why? Because he has given me everything. He gave me my eyes, my ears, my body. He gave me his son. His son gave his life on a cross. I am forgiven and redeemed and saved. God has given me so much. He's such a liberal, generous, giving God. How can I not but give to others of all that I have? This is the evidence of faith. You giving, generous, sacrificial, that's the love of God being poured out in your heart. Last point's the most important. I've been giving too much credit to the widow. Fourth point, this woman has faith, and this is very important. This woman has faith only by the power of the Holy Spirit working in the Word of God. And this is the highlight of the text. This widow only has faith in her, given by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that she hears in her ears. That's the high point of the text. The widow's not the hero. Elijah's not the hero. The Holy Spirit in the Word of God spoken by Elijah, he is the hero. He gives faith. That's how she has faith. Notice three times, this text is 9 verses, yet three times the Word of God is mentioned. At the beginning of the text, the Word of God comes to Elijah. The Word of God's in control of all this. The Holy Spirit in that Word to Elijah, go to her. She will feed you. It's amazing Elijah believe that. I'm going to go to some Gentile widow in some city up there, and she's going to feed me. He believes by the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in it. And then he says to her, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the flour will not be empty, nor the jug of oil. It will continue. The Word of God does it. And then at the end, according to the Word of God that he spoke by Elijah. All this happened according to the Word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Three times, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. It's the Word of God that does this. Because the Word of God gives life. The Word of God is powerful and strong. And this is why you need to be here to hear the Word of God. And teach your children the Word of God. And support our Sunday school and our school that teaches the Word of God. It is this Word of God that gives faith sustains faith, that we have eternal life. Teach and preach the Word of God. It works. Elijah probably never thought this would work. She's not going to believe. I'm not going to get fed up there. But he went. He believed. Go where God sends you. Believe the Word of God. We believe we're forgiven. We believe we're saved. We believe the cross. We believe the resurrection. We believe in our resurrection in the body in heaven. We believe all these things. What do we believe? By the power of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Without that, we would never believe these things. You know, when a kicker makes a field goal, and I think the guy made 2 field goals yesterday to win the game, didn't he? I mean, wow. The ball is sailing, and all eyes, all 100,000 fans are looking at that football in the sky. It goes through the uprights. 3 points. We're going to win. Who gets the credit for a field goal? Does the ball get the credit for going through the uprights? What a great ball. Who gets the credit? The humble little kicker. And sometimes we can't even pronounce the guy's name. He gets the credit. His foot. And so this text, it looks like the widow, Elijah, they are the heroes. Look at all they do. It is the Holy Spirit who compelled them, who gave them a nice, loving kick, if you will, to do the right thing. I pray as we near the end of our lives, near the end of the world, we never know when it's going to come. May we have the faith of the widow of Zarephath. May we have faith even though we're hated, we're out an outsider perhaps. We have faith even though we're hurting and suffering terribly. We have faith that moves us to help in every way, no matter what. And we're reminded that we have faith only by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So, oh Holy Spirit, give us your Word and give us great faith. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.